I'm Jess.
And I'm George.
And this is
Transpantastic, a podcast about gender, identity, orientation, and all the life that happens around it.
So then, once they get you all set, then the doctor comes in and...
A whole bunch of other people came in, too.
Oh, I'm sure.
Like, all kinds of people came.
Uh-huh.
Some student, very friendly, very nice. Everybody was very good. Two other assistants that were going to be in there with the doctor, they came in together. They were a little more jumpy. Eventually, the anesthesiologist came in. Some other people came in to tell the nurse that the room was open in case the doctor wanted to go early, but the doctor wasn't there, so she wasn't right there, wherever they needed her to be to ask her this.
Mm-hmm.
And they also wondered if I could go in early because I had eaten at 4, and that would be up to the doctor, of course. And I was just thinking, I need y'all to stop for a minute so I could do this meditation. It's not a long one. Eventually, everybody did go away. I did the meditation, and then the doctor came.
The doctor came.
Yes.
And brought the last chunk of paperwork, including a ridiculous waiver.
It was all there for her. And every single person that wasn't just an extra had to go over the paperwork. But she then had to sign everything, and she had to make sure she was signing each and every page they wanted so they wouldn't come and be like, oh, you got to sign this one too. And she was quite amused that they made me sign the waiver, understanding that I was going to be sterile.
So ridiculous. Yeah. I had to sign it too. I'm like, yeah. Yes, you're taking out my reproductive organs. I understand I will no longer be able to reproduce. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, she was thoroughly amused by that. I think in part because, like you said, for you, we are removing these organs that you would use to reproduce if you were going to. And then it's me. So, of course I want them out of there, and you're taking them out, and I will be sterile. We know.
Yes.
The dude getting a hysterectomy knows.
Fuck.
Yeah, and then we were like ready to get rolling, and they had to roll me through their tiny little passages to get me to the tiny room to put me.
I remember thinking when they took me, and it might have been because I already had the IV and they might have already started my drip of the I don't care medicine, that it seemed really long that they were rolling me and rolling me and rolling me from the pre-op like check-in place to the actual surgery room.
I don't think they had given me any yet.
Right.
I was wanting it because I know you're calmer once you have that. I don't know if they rolled you to the same spot. I would assume so. It's not that big in that hospital.
No, it's not. And that's part of why I thought it was kind of weird, because I was like, this seems like a long way. I didn't know this place was that big.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
No.
It's just kind of labyrinthine in there.
Well, it is, and I told them when we made the last turn and got into the operating room, I said, I'm impressed. Those were some tight squeezes with this long bed thing that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did have to get off of that and put my tailbone in the little spot where they had drawn on the table.
That's funny.
You know, pick my ass up again and made sure that I had it in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is totally funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't draw a line for me. They had me scoot down and get into the stirrups before they did anything else.
They were trying to wedge something. One of the helpers was trying to wedge something behind my shoulder that she apparently was trying to explain to me was so that when they tipped the table back, it would hold me there. And the doctor was like, just wait, not that yet. And then was very intent on me relaxing some more. My blood pressure might have started to go up, or she didn't want it to, or I don't know. But she said, you need to think about being somewhere else and not in this room. And I said, okay. And she said, so where are you? Like, do it now. She's very intense.
She's great, though.
Yeah, she's totally great. And I said, I'll be in Hawaii. And she said, great, good place. And that was it. That's the last thing I remembered.
That's totally great.
Yeah. I started to fade and I was like, yeah.
Good.
I'm ready to be gone.
Go to Hawaii. Yeah. Wake up with no uterus.
How great is that?
Right?
Sounds like a perfect vacation.
I mean, it's not Tahiti. That's a magical place.
Yes. I did consider, you know, saying something like that, but...
Jokes like that, you never quite know how they'll land.
Yes. And since I hadn't been to Tahiti, then she might have been like, no, I don't know.
Yeah.
She was very insistent that I go somewhere and do it right away.
So that's the last thing you remember until you woke up?
Yes. And I woke up, and so my surgery was like at 12:30.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up at about 10 to 5.
Okay.
I think that's right.
That's when they called me and said to come get you. They had been calling me all afternoon with updates on your progress.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, for about an hour, I was sitting in the parking lot or the parking garage of the hospital just waiting. But I didn't want to be inside with all those people if they weren't ready to give me you yet.
Right. And didn't you have to go get a kid?
I had to go get a kid from work. And I think I had to pick up groceries. And yeah, there were a handful of things. Like I was working while you were in surgery. But then about the time that they first called, I was picking a kid up from work.
Which you weren't supposed to have to do because it wasn't your day, but that's a whole other thing.
It wasn't my day, but their dad was MIA. And
yeah.
So
they called you when I woke up. And I woke up because I needed to pee.
Mm-hmm.
I know. And I forgot because I just woke up. That's like the key to getting out.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and that's funny to me because like that was the thing. Like they wouldn't let me go until I peed, but I did not need to pee.
That's why I woke up. So I woke up. I saw the dude there, the nurse, at his little computer at the end into the side of the bed. And I was like, hey. He's like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I said, great, but I need to pee. And so he brought me a bedpan because I was not ready to. I could hardly get myself onto that, let alone anything else.
Right.
Yet. I was not with it enough. Except even after anesthesia, I wake up to pee, unlike some people in our house.
Number two child.
Oh my gosh.
Coming up on 16?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Anyway.
Anyhow. So I woke up. I needed to pee. They're always pleased with you. if you're going to pee. Yay. You're
going to
pee.
Good job. Pee in the potty.
Right? And when the doctor did come back, she was like, okay, so he'll just need to pee. And the guy's like, he already did. She said, well, you know, how are we doing? Talk to me a little. She said on one side, which I think she said was the right side, and I think that must be correct, is a little more inflamed on that side.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been able to sleep on that side at all.
Right.
Very uncomfortable. She said the ovary was kind of stuck.
It had kind of atrophied into the muscle wall.
Yeah, and they had to peel it out of there, so it took a little longer than it would have without that issue. But it wasn't a big issue. It was just, they had to peel it off.
Yeah.
To get it out.
Yeah, the way she described it to me was like teasing it out.
Yes.
And so that makes sense.
I remember that now.
She called me when you were out and she said that you had done well and that you were recovering and that the hospital people would call me. And then the hospital people called me when I was picking up number three child.
When she called you though, she told you how the surgery went and,
yes.
And about the teasing the
yes.
ovary out of the
yes.
side of my body.
Yes. That it had taken a little while longer, but everything was okay and that you were now moving to recovery. And then the hospital called me once and said, he's in recovery. When do you want us to call you again? I said, when he's awake and ready to come home. And they said, okay. And so then I finished, you know, doing the things I needed to do that I could do quickly, like picking up the kid. And then I went and I sat in the parking garage at the hospital and the doctor calls me again. And I'm like, I thought you were doing other things now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you have another one of these to do?
Or something.
And she says, well, I'm calling because the pharmacy is out of the painkillers. And I'm like, okay, we asked for the prescription of the painkillers 3 days ago.
You didn't say that to her. You just let her tell you the solution.
I did just let her. But because I'm thinking like, we asked for the prescription for the painkillers days in advance because when I had mine, I had to go chasing around to three or four different pharmacies before I could find one that actually had it in stock.
It was the pandemic.
Yeah.
It was the height of the pandemic.
And that's, you know, and understandably, places are keeping minimal stock on hand anyway because it's a narcotic.
Right. And that's why they wouldn't give it to me early.
Right.
And their solution was, we can give it to you at the hospital from the hospital pharmacy. I said, great.
But then the hospital pharmacy doesn't have it either.
Right. So what was happening on my end before she called you was, he said, okay, let me get this other person who's coming back and forth to go down and get your prescriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And she was gone a long time. And he was starting to wonder where she was.
Mm.
That's because they didn't have what she needed.
Right. And so the doctor calls me and says, you know, do you have a pill cutter?
Yes.
Here are other options. We can have you chase it down, or I can give you the double dose and you can cut it in half. And I said, yes, let's go with that one. I have a pill cutter.
Yes.
I think we have like two or three of them at our house.
We have two, I imagine, because I had one for the boys' pills.
And I had one for number one's pills.
Yeah. So we have a pill cutter.
We can manage
that.
We're
all set. Because that's what they had to do, is the person went down to get the meds and they didn't have them. So then the pharmacy had to call the doctor and the doctor had to call you and the doctor had to call the pharmacy. pharmacy back.
Yep. And so all this time, I'm like, is my George awake yet? Like, I would have, you know, they didn't call me back when you were awake.
I was awake.
They did not call me back until you were, like, ready to go.
And by then, I had to pee again. So they brought me to the bathroom.
They did bring you to the bathroom, and you were in the bathroom when I arrived.
And they gave me my clothes and said I could get dressed while I was in there. And mm-hmm. I was very careful because I knew that I was probably not the best at standing up. And
it wasn't,
I shouldn't do too much of that.
Probably not.
Yeah.
So that was all okay.
It was all okay. Everybody was great.
And then
I was chatting with the nurse. He was telling me about, you know, various things like where he grew up and how long he had been in the U.S. and taking his kids on a trip and so
nice.
On and so forth. And
just being social.
Yeah, just being social and hanging out. And they had told me you were doing errands. And I thought, that's weird, but I didn't know you were having the thing of picking up the kid. And
well, and that was the thing. Like, when they first called, you know, I said, I have a few errands to run, but, you know, call me back as soon as he's awake.
Right.
So I can come and come
and at that point, they were waiting for the meds to come back from the pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to call you again, which is when they called you.
Right. So you came home and...
I did. I wobbled.
I walked with you all the way to the back door.
You followed me, but I wobbled down the
pathway. You did not let me support you.
I was going.
You were going. You did just fine.
Yeah.
And then you walked up the stairs and I was okay letting you do that because you could hold on to the guardrails and I followed you.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't follow you quite as closely.
Right.
Mostly so that if you fell on the stairs, I needed to have a distance to catch you.
Yes.
If I was too close, I would have gotten knocked over.
Right.
And you laid down for a little while, and I think you weren't ready to sleep because you had been in a coma all day.
Yes, I had. And I came down and sat with you and Vinny in the TV room at some point.
You did, and we were all like, what are you doing?
Oh, no.
You didn't know either, it's
true. I do not know nothing. I'm sitting here with you guys, right?
You're being social. Hi.
I'm
nice
being
to
social
see
in a very high way.
It was
the
very...
only person that's high, but it's expected.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I did end up taking pain pills. They were every 4 hours. You cut them in half. And so I had them at the hospital. They put in the chart and told you on the paperwork that you took with you when I could have pain meds again. And I took them in 4 hours and then I took them in 4 hours again. And then that was that. I didn't take them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I took the really large ibuprofen. And I took it regularly because I wanted the swelling to go down. That was the discomfort I was feeling.
The swelling and the gas. You didn't have anywhere near as much gas as I did,
no.
But you did have gas.
I did have, like, gas pressure pain.
Yes, because they have to inject gas into your innards to be able to see what they're doing.
And then after that, they apparently inject another clear liquid that keeps things from adhering to each other that shouldn't. And that takes about a day for you to absorb or something.
Right.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And then because you had already spent like a whole day in a coma, you slept some that night, but you were up at early o'clock.
I was up at my usual early o'clock. I was awake before the alarms, and when your alarm went off to go take care of the boy, I said, hey, I'm already awake. Let me do it. I could tell he was anxious, and I thought if I go out there and do the usual thing, he will feel less anxious.
And admittedly, you were a little bit slow doing the usual thing, but he has reached a point where he doesn't need as much, like, he needs verbal guidance. He doesn't need, like, following around as much as he used to.
Right. He can get up out of the bed himself and get into the shower, and if he doesn't, I have an alarm that says go get him up out of the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I didn't have the alarms on, but I was awake.
Right.
So, and I believe he got up and got in the shower, and then I knock on the door about 20 minutes later and tell him time. He always says what? Like what
do
you
think? Why else would I be knocking on the door when you're taking a shower and you've already been in there for 20 minutes?
I say time. He says okay.
Uh-huh.
And then he gets out and he gets dressed and comes downstairs and I have him take his pills right away. This is what we do every morning.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask him if he'll eat something or take something with him. And sometimes it's, you know, some type of teenage cooperation or it's the usual not cooperation. But and then, you know, off he goes. I have an alarm that says go to the bus. But I didn't have that. So I think I did turn it back on at that point so I wouldn't miss something. And then after he went to school, I came upstairs and I think maybe I ate. But anyhow, I went back to bed at some point, probably around 8. So about an hour after he left, I probably ate something, took pills, and then went back to bed. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that settled him down a bit because it was a normal, you know, schedule and sequence in the morning. Because I could tell the night before he was a little bit like, uh-oh, Dad doesn't look great. And he came and gave me a hug. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Like, he came and stood behind the couch and like hugged you from behind.
Yes.
He was a little bit clingy, which is what he does when he's nervous.
Yes.
He clings on you.
Yes.
So that was good that you were able to do that. Although I have to say, I felt really guilty letting you get up and do all the things while I was sleeping, but I really needed more sleep.
You did. And you sleep best at that time of the morning.
I sleep best between like 3 a.m. and 7 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
I am a night owl. I don't fall asleep easily. Yeah. Sometimes I do when I'm like completely worn out, which life does to us kind of a lot. But, you know, when you're not around or when I don't have to be up for work in the morning, I will be up until 11, 12, 1 o'clock and not get up until 9 or 10 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to be up, I felt a little guilty, but I was also too tired to care.
I was glad that you just went back to sleep because I knew you needed the rest and I could rest later. I didn't have work, so
right.
I was good.
Yeah. So as you're recovering, you're catching up on the mail from the couple days that you were kind of out of it.
Lo and behold, there's a letter from my insurance company.
And to recap, your insurance had approved the surgeon that you wanted in the Bay Area as out of network,
yes.
Which would have meant a higher copay, higher deductible for you.
Yes.
And you had started an appeal to get it moved to in-network.
I did.
But in the meanwhile, the insurance is changing.
It is changing. It's changing in January.
And you had called the clinic in the Bay and told them that the insurance was changing.
Right. And told them that apparently the doctor is in-network under the new insurance.
Right.
And so in the meantime, along comes this letter.
That basically says, you win, but it doesn't matter.
Yes. We have reviewed the facts surrounding your formal first level appeal. After review of the information presented and what we gathered during our investigation, a determination has been made to approve the authorization as in-network. So I win, like you said, I win, and my prize is nothing because it's insurance.
I wonder how much of you winning has to do with the fact that the insurance is changing and that they knew, like, that they weren't going to have to, although it does say that they did contact the new doctor and tried to, you know, establish that letter of agreement so that you could get things started.
Yes, they did. And
so they weren't thinking about the fact you did actually win. It wasn't like them letting you win because they wouldn't have to do anything
correct.
About you winning.
Because this letter does say they contacted the clinic and the clinic informed them that my new insurance would be starting in January and they would be seeking a letter of approval from the new insurance.
Right.
And so basically, I could take this letter and say to them, no, I'm going to go ahead.
But your new insurance, we actually did a little bit of math and it looks like it's going to cost less under the new insurance. So we're just going to wait.
It is because I have reached the point in the current insurance where I pay 20%. And with the new insurance, the overall deductible for the year is calculated differently.
Yes.
And so we'll all go towards the surgery and that will be capped at that amount then.
Right.
And then that new plan pays at 100% after that.
Right.
Maximum out of pocket.
Right.
Which is really surprising.
Yeah.
But it is, if I wasn't having a surgery, it's a plan where you have to spend all the money out of pocket yourself. First, they give you a small amount on
They give you about a quarter of it on a flex card, and then the other three quarters of your deductible you have to pay out of pocket before they're willing to pay anything.
Anything but at all.
This big surgery eats your entire deductible, and there you go.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be cheaper than what we would have been paying with the old insurance.
Correct. Now I have to wait, though, till January to find out a surgery date.
And a cost.
And a cost.
Although, and you know what your cost is going to be, but...
But I really want the process to happen as soon as possible so that I can believe that the doctor is really on the plan. And I looked at it myself. He's on there, but...
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be happening in order to know it's happening.
Yes.
Because that's how it works with insurance and
so hopefully no more calls or visit or potential visits to BFE. Did you call and cancel your trip to BFE?
I didn't make a trip. I do still have two appointments in December.
Well, the thing is, the appointments are that they're supposed to be trips, I thought.
They are supposed to be trips. However, before this letter came, the insurance was also also driving the endocrinologist's office batty because they were going in circles with them. They're saying, yes, we did tell you to contact BFE directly, but that means there's no authorization in our system and we cannot approve travel to BFE without an authorization. And we're all like, what? And what do we do? And in the meantime, we find out that it's better if we just wait. So I'm going to message them in the chart, in the portal. I shall send them a message saying, hey, the insurance has decided they can't figure this out. So hopefully some lucky guy will be glad to have this appointment open.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all mm-hmm. you can do.
Yep. Well, I mean, I thought about trying to do it as a remote appointment, as a backup plan, in case something fell through at the Bay Area one. And I don't have to cancel it immediately.
Right.
So I thought about that.
But you've got about 2 weeks, and it really would be good to let someone else be able to schedule that appointment.
It would.
So, good on
so,
you.
I'm gonna send them a message instead.
Good.
Yeah. And I'm just kind of up and doing things again now.
Yes, you are at about 60, 70% it looks like lately.
Yeah.
The past day or so.
Yeah, it's been 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And I am about at 60 or 70%. I would say that's correct.
Okay. Well, hooray.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
This would be the point where I would ask what's gendery, but...
right. Right.
The whole damn thing is gendery.
Yes,
it is. It's never not. So is there anything else?
I think that's it.
We'd love to hear from you, so let us know what you think or what you want to hear about by emailing us at transpantastic@gmail.com or by commenting at our website, transpantastic.net. Don't forget to subscribe in Stitcher, iTunes, or your favorite podcatcher, and leave us reviews and star ratings. Disclaimer time. We are neither your doctor nor your mental health professional. We are here to discuss our own lives, so we take no responsibility for your decisions based on our discussions. If you are considering transition, please seek professional assistance. If you are considering parenting while transitioning, you definitely need professional assistance. All contents are distributed under a Creative Commons No Derivative License and may be shared freely in their entirety. Any alteration or less than complete reproduction requires permissions of the hosts. Thanks for listening.
Just relax, Bob. It's okay.
Good dog.
It's okay, man. I know you're watching Jess. He's keeping an eye on you. Like, I don't know what you're going to do over there.
Rawr.
See? He knew it.
There, I did it. Now can you chill?
Yes.
Go ahead.
What am I saying?
There's a ladybug.
Where? Oh, my goodness. Well, let's put it on a plant or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll have anything to eat there.
I don't know. It'll be okay.
Where did Bob get a ladybug from?
Fuck if I know.
And how come he didn't try to eat it?
I'm surprised he didn't, but that's right? Okay.
Okay, anyhow. Do you want me to just go over again, or what do you want me to do about him?
I think he has stopped for now.
Try to settle down, Bob. Go to sleep or something. You're bothering Jess with your oldness. He's like, I'm not trying to.
I know you're not trying to. You need to try not to.
Go get some water. Go on, go get some water. Go.
He doesn't want to.
He doesn't
want to
go.
Be by us. He's probably getting hungry, but...
He just ate.
Okay.
It is... And that was too loud, sorry.
No, you're fine. That was actually perfect. That would be a good volume for you all the time.
But... All right, well, I feel like I'm shouting. Maybe I should just pretend I'm talking to the children who are not listening.
Although they always say you're shouting even when you're not. So, anyway.
It's my tone of voice by the time they're listening is exasperated.
Yes. So, yeah. Please don't be exasperated with me. I'm done with that now.
Okay.